Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Beginning in 2010, Maryland and most other states adopted what we know as Common Core, a set of curriculum standards for what students should know in math and English language arts by the end of each grade and by the time they graduate from high school. Proponents of Common Core say the goal is to raise learning standards from memorization to critical thinking and to measure how prepared students are for the next grade, college, and careers. This is the first year Maryland students are taking standardized tests based on the new curriculum, and tests are known as the PARC assessment. Some parents in Maryland, as elsewhere around the U.S., are opting out of national standardized tests. One of those parents is Ben Dalby, a parent of a third grader in Baltimore and of a kindergarten student. He's with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Joining us by phone from Seattle is Jesse Hagopian. He teaches history at a high school where half the students this week decided not to take the standardized test. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And also with us by phone is Dr. Henry Johnson, Assistant State Superintendent of Curriculum, Assessment, and Accountability at the Maryland Department of Education. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let me start with you, Dr. Johnson. The test itself, tell us what the PARC, the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Career Assessment, what does it test?
Well, the PARC test, like you said, what students should know and be able to do in grades 3 through 8 and once in high school in algebra and English 10, as well as algebra 2.
This is a test taken on computer, right? It's not old-fashioned filling in bubbles on a piece of paper.
It's designed as a computer-based test, but not all schools are ready to administer it in that manner yet.
Well, Ben Dalby, let me ask you. I mean, it seems both nationally and in Maryland, that this is a bigger issue than it has been in previous years. Why are standardized tests a problem now?
There's more testing. The test takes about twice as long. It eats up a larger portion of the school year. We are starting to get to what teachers and administrators call testing season that lasts through April and May. Also, now the stakes are much higher. The punitive measures associated with not meeting certain scores on these tests are new, and that's a big part of the reason why we're trying to stop the test.
Punitive measures means what?
Defining schools as failing. Defining schools as failing, shutting schools down, turning schools around, and tying teachers' evaluations to the test scores of their students.
Dr. Johnson, I was under the impression that there have been standardized tests that took a fair amount of time for at least a decade. How different is the situation?
There have been tests for at least a decade or so that have held students and schools accountable for the performance of students. The PARC assessment this year is a bit longer than the MSA test and the HSA tests have been in the past. And one of the things that we're able to do as a result of this administration is to review the testing time and determine whether or not there needs to be some adjustments made to the tests as a result of the first year of administration. But as far as punitive measures are concerned, since No Child Left Behind was passed in 2002, schools have always been held accountable for the performance of students. And as a result of that law in 2002, all schools were supposed to have 100% of their students performing proficient by 2014.
And so,
we certainly know that's not, that's just impossible to do.
Talking about the question of accountability, our national focus on an obsession with what we say holding schools accountable has become an excuse for not talking about much more fundamental things like poverty. I mean, over half of the kids in U.S. public schools this year are eligible for free and reduced meals for the first time in more than 50 years. In Baltimore City, our schools are massively underfunded. We're in the midst of a discussion about a budget shortfall of something like $100 million for the next school year. The state is required to give these tests. The schools are required to administer them. Teachers are required to give them and teach to them. Parents are able to say, no, thank you. We want to stop this enterprise and start to refocus on things that need more attention.
So you see a connection between the amount of education that actually happens in a classroom. You think the testing is taking away from that?
I think the testing is taking away from instruction. I think it's also the poor schools that fail.
Jesse Hagopian, let me bring you back in the conversation. From your perspective, what is the reason that more parents in your area seem to be resisting standardized tests?
Well, when you ask Dr. Johnson what is tested by these Common Core tests, it's true that they're testing math and reading, but I think What Mr. Dalby was alluding to is the fact that the tests are actually measuring students' access to resources. They're a better measure of a student's zip code and the wealth in the area they live than they are of a student's aptitude. And I think that contradiction is driving this revolt. And we are now in the midst of the largest uprising in U.S. history against high-stakes testing. You have 60,000 parents in New York State alone last spring that opted out their students. You had the largest uprising and walkout of students against these tests that happened in Colorado earlier this year. And then just a few weeks ago, a mass walkout in Santa Fe happened, and it's come back to my hometown in Seattle here recently. We now have the largest number of students opting out of standardized testing in our city's history. And at my high school, you know, 2 years ago, our entire faculty at Garfield High School voted to refuse to administer the Measures of Academic Progress test, the MAP test, and that helped to kick off this whole uprising and inspire people around the country. And I think this uprising is really being fueled by the fact that the testocracy, as I call them, is attempting to reduce the intellectual and emotional process of teaching and learning to a single score, so that they can use that score to punish students, denying them graduation, to punish teachers, to label schools failing, as Mr. Dalby said.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Jesse Hagopian, who's leading a movement to opt out of standardized testing, with a Baltimore parent, Ben Dalby, and with Dr. Henry Johnson of the Maryland Department of Education. Dr. Johnson, first of all, are you seeing anything like an uprising in Maryland?
No, we haven't seen that type of movement in Maryland.
We're just getting started.
Okay, that was Ben Dalby. That was Ben Dalby offering that view. But Dr. Johnson, as I understand it, poor test scores in Maryland might actually lead to increased funding for those schools. Tell me what the relation between school funding and these park tests is.
Well, I think one of the things that you will find is that the performance of the students on the test actually will bring more resources into the schools for those students that are in those schools that are not performing well. This has been the case since the No Child Left Behind Act of 2002. Students would take the test, performance levels would be determined on how well the school is performing, and then support would be given to those students in those schools that did not meet particular benchmarks. It also serves a way for schools and for principals to look at ways in which they can improve their instructional programs to meet the needs of the students, regardless of their zip code. One of the things that we think the assessment movement does is it provides us an opportunity to have equitable schools across the state of Maryland and to provide opportunities for students in zip codes who would not otherwise see instructional programs come their way as a result of not being able to have the funding associated with them.
One of the concerns that I've heard some parents express is how test performance will be used to assess teachers.
There will be, in probably 2 to 3 years, a relationship between the student performance and the evaluation of teachers.
This is Jesse. I was wondering if I could address a point that Dr. Johnson raised, because I have had a different experience in Seattle. And in fact, we've seen that the schools who are labeled failing with the No Child Left Behind Act actually don't receive any extra resources. At the kindergarten where my son attends school, they are a high poverty school, and in fact, we're struggling to keep our one counselor in our school, especially in the wake of the Great Recession. We've seen funds being slashed in schools across the country. At the same time, they're demanding more accountability. And I just want to make one thing clear, that teachers are not against testing. In fact, teachers invented tests, and we have to know how our students are doing and able to help scaffold their understanding to the next level of development. But what we are demanding in this movement is not just an end to the punitive test and punish model, but actually authentic assessments, performance-based assessments like those when you get your PhD, right? You actually have to develop a thesis, you have to defend that thesis to a panel of experts, and you find that that actually nurtures critical thinking and collaboration in the classroom rather than rote memorization and teaching kids that wisdom is the ability to eliminate wrong answer choices. And that's really the struggle for authentic assessment that's happening around this country.
My experience in Baltimore with teachers, this is Ben Dalby, is that teachers are scared to talk about this test. I've had teachers, several teachers, come up to me as individuals and thank me for what our family is doing in refusing the park. They don't feel like they can speak out about it. Dr. Johnson is correct that Maryland has applied for and received a waiver from the federal government for the most punitive measures of No Child Left Behind. They just applied to extend that waiver for the next school year. I don't know what Dr. Johnson means by support. I assume he's referring to MSDE controlling Title I money and deciding how that money gets spent at the school level.
Let me give Dr. Johnson the last word to answer that question.
You know, the federal government provides funding for states to be able to provide support for our lowest performing schools and through school improvement grants and through other measures. When the scores come in, we look at those schools that basically are not performing well, and there is a lot of support, financial support given to those schools through these grants we get through the federal government. What we try to do then is to work with those schools and to work with the staff in those schools to build the stability that is needed to help those students increase their level of performance. We want to make sure that every student has the opportunity to receive a good education, and that's one of the things that we think we can be able to support through this assessment system, because we then will have an opportunity to measure the performance of every single student and look at ways in which we can support those students in the future.
I know there's a lot more to talk about here, and I'm grateful to you all for giving us at least a beginning of an understanding of what some of the disagreements and big issues are. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Ben Dalby is a parent of a third grader and a kindergartner in Baltimore City Public Schools. Assistant State Superintendent of Schools Dr. Henry Johnson oversees curriculum assessment and accountability at the State Department of Education. And from Seattle, Jesse Hagopian, a teacher, writer, and organizer. Jesse will be speaking at Red Emma's in Baltimore next Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. about a book he edited called More Than a Score. We have details and more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, poetry and a trio. Stay with us on 88.1.